Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning is from Paul's first letter to Timothy, the first chapter. My dear friends in Christ, it's always an interesting thing when you have something in front of you that seems to kind of sit right against what you know. It's almost as if Paul is saying here that while the law is good, it doesn't apply to us at all. And I don't really know exactly how long we're going to go with this, but I can tell you the law still applies if we use it lawfully. To be honest, those first few verses of our epistle lesson are kind of difficult for your pastor to hear because, well, you always hope that you're not one of those certain persons that Paul is talking about. Those who desire to be teachers of the law but not understanding what they're saying. I can tell you it is hard work to figure this out. If you remember way back when I got here to SPI, we spent some weeks talking about Walther's distinction of law and gospel. And it's good for us to remember these things. We've got to keep the law and the gospel separate. The law has a few functions. Certainly we know this. The law is there not just to curb our behavior, to kind of tell us how far we can go. Also, it's there to show us as ourselves as a sinner. It is there indeed to guide us as Christians. We know these things. The law is always also going to accuse you. The law is always going to stand in front of you. That's that mirror aspect. It's always going to stand in front of you and say, you've not met the standard of perfection. And we have to say with the law, yes, you're right. But this is where the gospel comes in. The law will not forgive your sins. The gospel comes in and tells you that you have a Savior who has done this on your behalf. A Savior who has borne your sin to the cross. A Savior who has borne up under the wrath of God. A Savior who has forgiven you. And a Savior who gives you the promise of resurrection. Eternal life with Him. The law will not tell you that. At all. The law can't. The law tells you what the right thing to do is. It cannot tell you about the Savior who died for you. So, we have to keep these in tension. We have to keep these in such a way that we understand we are sinners in need of repentance and that we are sinners forgiven and now saints in Christ. What Paul is talking about, these certain persons, are these people who come into the churches or all the places that he has gone and stand before the congregation and tell them how it is they're supposed to do things according to God. As if God is somehow speaking in their ear and giving them some special knowledge about life. For Paul, a lot of what he faced were people who would come in after he had been there and say, well, Paul is good, but I'm a super apostle. Literally, this is what they called themselves. It's the dumbest name you could think of. I'm a super apostle. So, men, go circumcise yourselves. And you go, okay. I mean, we would kind of sit there and go, yeah, no, that's not okay. But they would sit there and they would say, all right, if you're a super apostle, I guess I must listen. And the problem Paul had with these congregations who would listen to them is not that they would end up doing these things, but they did it thinking that they were winning God's favor. And it's not wrong to be circumcised, even at someone else's desire. It is wrong to do it and think that you have somehow won the favor of God. My friends, you cannot win the favor of God. You can't. The law stands in front of you and says, you can't do it. All of us have other gods instead of the one true God. Whatever it is that we fear, love, and trust, that's our God. All of us misuse God's name. All of us Well, sometimes it's hard to get to church in the morning, isn't it? And that's okay. I went back to bed a little bit after showering this morning, and Liz walks in and she goes, "You may not do that. You have to get to church and preach." We all have dishonored our father and our mother. We've all dishonored the authorities that God has placed over us. And if you don't believe me, what are your feelings toward our current president? Or what are your feelings toward our last president? All of us have hated our brothers in our hearts and thus have murdered them. All of us have stolen to one extent or another. All of us have borne false witness. All of us have lusted after others. All of us have coveted what it is not ours. We are standing in front of the law, and it's looking at us, and it's accusing us, and it's telling us that all of us are damned sinners. You can't win God's favor. The law's right. Up to us, all it is damnation. Up to us, we have spoiled this world. Up to us, there's no hope. You can't win the favor of God. But you have one who has. You have a person, one person, who has the favor of God upon him. And he does not hold that for himself, but instead gives it freely to you. And that's Jesus. This is why Paul goes into that list right there in the middle of the reading, right? He talks about the ungodly, the sinners, the lawless, the disobedient, the unholy, profane, those who strike fathers and mothers, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, whatever else goes against sound doctrine. He gives the entire list of how it is that we can break the law. Of course, there's more. As then Paul goes on to say, well, I was also a blasphemer, I was also a persecutor, and I love this one, I was an insolent opponent of God. So if you're not in that list, you're certainly in the next one. And he talks about how the law stands there and it accuses him, and it shows Paul, and it should show you too, how it is that you sin. All right, fine. Maybe theft isn't your pet sin. Is adultery? All right, fine. Adultery's not your pet sin. Is it gossip? All right, maybe gossip isn't your pet sin. Is it trusting in something that is not God? Paul's point here is none of us stands righteous. Not one. And the law does have to come in. It does have to tell us this. Because if we're not aware of this, we have no need of a Savior. I'm not saying we stay in this as sinners. But the law comes in and it condemns you with this. The law, however, it has no motivation to make you better. There's no promise in the law. It's just the command. The law says, do this, and you say, all right, or you'll say, no thanks. And when the law comes in, it doesn't say, and you'll live. That's a promise of the gospel. It doesn't say, and you'll benefit. That's a promise of the gospel. The law gives you no impetus to obey. It doesn't turn your heart to God. In fact, elsewhere, Paul says, I did not know what coveting was until I heard the command, you shall not covet. And then I coveted all the more. When we hear the law, we tend to double down. But when the gospel comes in, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ forgives our sins, makes us holy, makes us clean, gives us the mercy of God. And in this, we find the desire to look to our God and say, what will you command me to do today? Not out of pleasing him, he's already pleased with you in Christ. But because, well, it's just the right thing to do. If we don't keep the law and the gospel in tension, if we don't keep them showing us how we're sinners and how we're saved, then we fall into one camp, which is to use the law unlawfully, or the other, which is to use the gospel unlawfully. That is to go out and just declare to everybody their sins are forgiven and you may live however it is that you wish to live. That is not good either. Paul is talking about keeping these in their right places. The law accuses us, shows us our sin. The law does not help us be holy. The gospel comes in and it will not ever accuse you, and it makes you holy. So, how is it we use the law? We use it lawfully. We use it the way that God has intended for us to use it. We use it because, well, when you get into that courtroom on the last day and you stand before Jesus, your judge, and he looks at you and he says, how do you plead? And the law stands next to you and it begins to scream out, this one's a sinner. Then you look to Jesus and you can say, I plead guilty, my Lord. I am guilty according to the law. It's right. But I plead your mercy. The mercy that comes to me through your precious blood shed upon the cross for my sins. I cling to you, my Lord. And he shall look to you and he will say, you are one of mine. You are redeemed by me. Welcome into your eternal rest. I declare you innocent of all your guilt. How is it we use the law? We use it lawfully. But we cannot ever forget that we must also use the gospel. For the grace of God and Jesus Christ has come to you. And it comes to you not just on that last day, but even now, through the forgiveness of sins, through the supper, and even through the remembering of your baptism. In these ways, your Lord reminds you and continues to save you, to bring you to that last day when you shall see him with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.